Welcome to Studio 86, in-depth discussions with RIT newsmakers. Come on inside.
Welcome inside Studio 86. I'm Mike Saffron of RIT University News. And in Studio 86 today is Betsy Cole, a first-year industrial engineering major here at RIT. And with Betsy is Buster, who is a first-year service dog in training. So we are breaking new ground on Studio 86 today as Buster becomes our first non-human guest on Studio 86. Welcome, Betsy.
Thank you very much.
And welcome to Buster. Let me begin, Betsy, by asking you how it is that you became involved in training, I guess we would say future service dogs. Buster is a service dog in training, so
Guide dog in training.
How did you become involved in this?
I became involved about 7 years ago. I attended a Girl Scout summer camp back at home, and there is an author there. Her name is Patricia Kennedy, and she wrote a book called Through Otis's Eyes, which is a picture book about her experiences and the lessons she learned raising a guide dog. And I was really inspired by the presentation that she gave. And at the end of the presentation, she gave everybody bookmarks. So I wrote up to Guiding Eyes to contact them about getting an application and getting my family involved with the organization.
And it really has been quite a family involvement, correct?
Yes, it has. I actually, about 2 years ago, got my brother involved also. He started raising his own dogs at the same time I did. And so my parents take care of them during the day while my brother and I are at school. And then when we come home from school, they would take care of them. And now I have Buster here at school with me.
So you started in high school?
I got my first dog actually in eighth grade. I was one of the youngest people at the time to raise a puppy for themselves as the primary raiser, not having like my whole family raise the dog, but as me being the primary raiser.
And how many have you raised so far?
Buster is currently the fifth dog that I have raised.
So you decided to come to RIT to study industrial engineering.
Yes.
And I understand there was a little bit involved in making this happen so that you could have Buster with you for part of this school year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was a whole process that I had to go to contacting many people because Buster does not have to be at school because since I am training him, I don't need him because I don't have a disability. But Dr. Cooper has been very, very supportive of me throughout the whole process once I got in contact with her. And so she really helped me get permission from the school and from housing to have Buster ultimately live in the dorms with me here and attend classes with me here at school.
And how's that been going? How's the dorm life been for both you with Buster and also for Buster? How are things going in the dorms?
The dorm life is great for both of us. He definitely loves having lots of people around him. We always have people in our rooms and saying hi to him in the hallways and stuff. Even in the dorms and going to and from class and stuff, we always see people who stop and say hi to him and stuff. So it's been a really great experience for both of us here on campus.
And I was with you recently on the quarter mile with you and Buster, and it was interesting. You're probably quite used to this, but it was interesting how I would say most everyone notices the two of you, and of those who notice, most everyone notices, and most everyone smiles.
I was noticing. There's been a lot of very positive response from having a dog here. A lot of people will come up and ask me, because there aren't too many dogs here on campus, so they'll come up and ask what he's here for and stuff, and if they can pet him. And so everybody is curious about seeing a dog, but everybody's been very supportive and had great response from everybody about having a dog here on campus.
And how about other places you go on campus, like the dining halls? How does everything go when you and Buster show up in a dining hall?
Buster's great in the dining halls. He has no issues with any of the food and doesn't mind waiting in line while we have to wait for our food to be prepared and stuff. So he's barely noticed wherever we go. Teachers, professors I have often comment about how quiet he is in class, and nobody really notices that he's there unless they see him come in or leave.
And let's talk a little bit about that, because he goes everywhere with you, which I understand that was part of the agreement in allowing Buster to be with you, that he's with you at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in, as we mentioned, dining halls, goes to class with you. How does he spend class time?
He spends class time taking many naps throughout the day.
Unlike many undergraduates, I might mention.
He, especially in my 8 o'clock math class in the morning, but he knows to just go right under my chair, under the desk, and lay down, and that in 1 or 2 hours, he'll be up again, moving somewhere else. So he's great about it. He just knows it's another chance for a nap. So hopefully playtime later.
And I also understand that although for the most part he sleeps in class, he does have a favorite class.
Yeah, he really liked physics last quarter, actually, doing the labs and stuff. He was often interested in watching the projectiles fly off the table, and he'd just lay under the table and watch the labs we were doing. So he really enjoyed that class, I think.
How about your professors? How do they adjust to having Buster in class?
Professors have all been very supportive and always comment that he's very quiet in class and that they're surprised. They don't often remember that he's come to class that day because he is so well behaved.
Has he ever been called on?
Not yet. He hasn't.
And who was your teacher for that physics class?
Oh, I had Dr. Batcheldor for physics last quarter.
All right. So a good plug for that class for anyone registering for next quarter. Now, you mentioned, too, that sometimes people want to come up, and it's natural, people want to see Buster and they want to pet him.
Mm-hmm.
But if a dog is working, or in Buster's case, his job is training, is that something that people shouldn't do?
People are definitely more than welcome to come up and ask to pet a dog, and that is really what any person either using a service animal or training one definitely prefers, is that you come up and not just automatically stick your hands on the dog, but definitely ask. And with Buster, I am more than willing to let people pet him because he loves people and loves the attention that he gets. So yes, people are more than welcome to come up and ask to pet him. And if no serious training is going on, usually more than likely people will let you pet him.
Okay. And getting back to dorm life, like any other student, you have a roommate. And how was that adjustment for your roommate? Did she know at the start of the year? I know you didn't want to come with Buster for the first quarter. You wanted to get adjusted yourself. But did your roommate know that this was something you were planning on?
I had talked to her from the beginning that this was something that I had been involved with, and that after the first quarter was over, I would see how things were going and maybe see if I was interested in trying to pursue bringing a dog here to school. And so then after the first quarter was over, I talked to her about it, and she has dogs of her own at home. And so she was very supportive of me bringing Buster here to school.
Now, unfortunately, Buster's going to, unfortunately for those of us who like to have dogs around, especially, and I'm sure for you, he's not going to be here for the rest of, for the entirety of spring quarter, but he's going back to the organization.
Mm-hmm. Guiding Eyes for the Blind.
What's next for him? He'll be leaving you.
Mm-hmm. He will be entering official harness training, where he will actually learn how to guide somebody in a harness. So he will learn how to actually lead somebody around streets and towns. And so hopefully in about 6 months, he will be a full-fledged guide dog, able to be matched with somebody and be their guide dog.
And I know it's the question that you probably answer all the time, and it's on everyone's mind. How difficult is it? And this is your fifth. Buster is your fifth guide dog, but so you've been through it before. But how difficult is it to say goodbye?
Of course, it's difficult every time because I've had Buster for 16 months. So, of course, he's an animal and I'm attached to him, and all the time and energy that I've put into him. And he's a reflection of all the hard work that I've done and everything. But I am very proud of all that he is able to do, and I want him to be successful as a guide dog. So, of course, it's difficult, but the first one was the hardest, and it gets easier after that. And our family usually keeps getting another puppy, so that makes it a little bit easier to say goodbye, because we're getting another one to begin the process all over again.
So it's really something that you take some pride in, perhaps, and seeing a successful dog that you've trained.
Definitely.
Go on to help somebody. Makes it easier.
Yeah. Especially attending the graduations and getting to see all the guide dogs with the blind people they've been matched with, and how grateful the blind students are to have a guide dog, and how much independence it gives really makes it worthwhile.
Speaking of the future, your mom is currently training a puppy?
Yes. His name is Faraday, and he is right now 12 weeks old. And so she is training him so that hopefully if this pilot program that Buster was under is successful, that I could see about potentially bringing him back in the fall for the next school year.
All right. So we might see you and Faraday next fall here
Maybe.
On campus.
Yep.
You mentioned, is it a formal pilot program then that was established?
Yes.
As a
Buster
result?
Is in this as the pilot program, and he is the sole dog under that. And so there's a lot of conditions that came with, of course, being under that and the whole guidelines and everything that was established. But yes, he is part of an official pilot program here at school.
And you mentioned Dr. Cooper earlier. Well, just for anyone who is unfamiliar, Dr. Mary Beth Cooper, who's Vice President for Student Affairs, but she was very helpful in setting up this program.
Yes, she was a tremendous help and very, very supportive of me in this whole process.
And, people might recall seeing dogs on campus before. It's not unheard of, service dogs in particular. There's one other that you're aware of this year on campus?
Yes.
So, again, not unusual, although still they're not terribly common. The service dog in training, however, is very uncommon. As you said, this is a new pilot program for RIT. So how has Buster and any other dogs that he's encountered, how does that go on campus? Because you don't really see two dogs interacting
right.
much on campus.
He knows, as well as the other dogs know, they're all working dogs, and so they know that they have a job that they are to remain focused on. And so, unlike most other pets, he knows that he is to stay focused and work, and that it's not playtime. If he happens to see the other dog here on campus, that he is to remain doing his job.
You're ready to hand him off to the organization. So at this point, he's at that point where he knows when he's working?
Yes, he definitely does. And his jacket that he wears all the time when we're around on campus is a symbol to him that he knows that he is working and that it's not playtime. It's similar to the harness that guide dogs wear. The jacket that Buster wears is how he knows that it's time to work.
The fact that he's wearing that jacket is a signal.
Mm-hmm. Friends have commented, because they've seen him with it on and off, that he is a different dog with it on, that he knows to be serious and not mess around.
And so the only time I think you mentioned earlier that he might not have the jacket on, maybe in the dorm.
If we're like in our room, he's not out in the hallway or anything. If he's in the hallway or walking through the dorms, he has it on. If he's just specifically in our room, then he doesn't have it on.
Mm-hmm. So he can relax for a little while when he's not wearing that jacket. How about your previous four training dogs? I'm sure you know where they are and what they're doing. Ever see them ever again? Or once they're off to do their thing, is that it?
No, we definitely stay in contact with the blind people that have them. My first dog that I raised was released for medical reasons, but the other three before Buster have become guide dogs, and we have stayed in contact with the three people that have those dogs and have made visits to see them. And it's great to see how they're doing and to keep updated on their status and how they're enjoying their guide dog years.
Great. How about your own future? Industrial engineering is what you're studying. Mm-hmm. Any tie-in there with animals, with service animals, or are these totally separate interests?
These are kind of totally separate things, and people are often surprised that I'm not in school to be a vet or something. But they're completely different, but definitely two passions that I share and hope to continue have a successful career as an industrial engineer and also continue supporting Guiding Eyes through raising puppies.
Well, good luck with Buster. You won't have him too much longer, but good luck with him, and hopefully we'll see Faraday on campus next fall. And I guess good for, again, those of us who like to see dogs around, good for us that Your engineering program is probably a five-year program. I know most
yes,
of them
it
are.
Is.
So perhaps we'll see Buster to Faraday to maybe even two or three others
maybe.
Here on
yep.
campus. So thanks, Betsy, and thanks, Buster.
Thank you.
Tune in next time for another in-depth discussion from Studio 86. Studio 86 is recorded live in Building 86 on the RIT campus and is produced by RIT University News Services.